was warm here, but the fire's gone out. I played it safe for so long, the passion left. Turns out safe is just another word for regret. So I step to the edge and I take a deep breath. We're all down to live, but we're all scared to death. And this is the part where my head tells my heart, you should.
So that's what we're seeking to invite everybody in, to be all in with Jesus, most of all. And that's very well presented in this book by Mark Batterson, All In. The book goes into a lot of different segments. And this week's reading talked about rim huggers. And he tells the story of those that hike the Grand Canyon. And apparently, it is very demanding physically. I know my wife is planning to do that in about a year, and she's been training for it already. But it's very rigorous. There's a lot of elevation. There's a lot of up and down, and it is quite an adventure. Those that are on both sides of the canyon, I believe that's what they call the rims of the canyon, they can overlook and see, like I'm overlooking here, very comfortable. They can be eating an ice cream cone or something. And they're not experiencing the same thing that those who are hiking the Grand Canyon are experiencing. In the same way, in our life of following Christ, there's a difference between knowing about Christ and knowing Christ. There's a difference between having this Christian experience in our head, but not really having this experience in our heart and living this experience every day. So there's something about being all in that fully communicates what this following Jesus is all about. So we're invited to come in and to know this experience fully. I want to pray with us tonight. Dear God, thank you for this time to just hear again what it means to be all in. Without pretense, without half-heartedness, we seek to know Jesus fully in our lives. And I pray for all those who are gathered here tonight. I don't know everybody's point of interest and searching, or even every reason that everyone's here. But I know that you do. And so I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak through these words that I use, and even through the things that I do not say, that we will all seek to be receptive to the leading of your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, this rim hugger concept actually goes through the Bible. It's easy for us to observe from afar and not really know what it's like to be fully all in with the Lord. But we cannot say that about Noah, can we? Noah was all in. And there's something about Noah's life that's going to take us into three different time zones today. First of all, I want to reference one of the quotes in Batterson's book. Is that it only takes 20 seconds of insane courage to change our life. Now, the journey to change our life might be longer than that, but to really decide to change our life, it doesn't take long. When I went into the ministry many years ago, I had fought that call into the ministry for about a year. But it only took about 20 seconds to get the courage to walk down the hall at Oakwood Lodge at Blue Lake Camp and wake up the dean of the camp at midnight. That took some courage. But I needed to talk to someone about what I perceived the Lord was calling me to do. So I knocked on his door, and it took about 20 seconds. It didn't take long because I was ready. I was ready just to say, this is what the Lord's put on my heart, and I believe I'm ready to do it. That's something for all of us, not just for pastors. That the Lord has a purpose for our lives, and we know if we put that off. And so for some of us tonight, this is going to be the key issue. We've been doing something off, and it only takes about 20 seconds of insane courage to really change our life, to change with that decision that we make. Courage, insane courage, as Batterson calls it. Now, another time zone that we will enter tonight is this whole story of Noah. It goes on for 120 years. And Noah had that 20 seconds of insane courage to do what the Lord had called him to do. But we also know that the Lord conveyed to Noah his life purpose. And it took about 120 years from start to finish to build the ark and to survive the flood. And so it took a long time. So it's not just the 20 seconds, but it's, do we fulfill why we're here? And to quote Korzok Zakowski, who I'm going to tell a little story, background story, in the fact that according to Jewish legend, Noah actually planted the trees that he cut down to build the ark. Now, that's long-term vision, isn't it? To have a vision that you're participating in that's going to take so long that you actually plant the seeds knowing that one day they will be ready, you'll cut them down, and they'll become a part of this big ark that you're building. Now, Korzok Zakowski, he was telling the story, or he is the origin of honoring Crazy Horse, the war hero, in which there has been a monument or a structure much like Mount Rushmore, which is about four times bigger than Mount Rushmore, in honor of Crazy Horse, who didn't allow his photograph to be taken. Isn't that ironic? And they're doing this large bust of Crazy Horse. And you know how long it's taken? This project began in 1948. It's not going to be finished until 2050. Korzok Zakowski started this project. He died in 1982. But he knew that this project was bigger than he was. And so his family members are finishing this project honoring Crazy Horse, which is a crazy story, isn't it? It's insane. It's an insane moment of courage. And this is a crazy moment of just committing to a long, long goal that's longer even than your life. But this is the kind of faith that Noah had. He committed to a long-term goal that was going to be 120 years long. Now let's take a look at this story of Noah. It's a very interesting story. We know that the world was very wicked, and some have called this story of Noah the second creation story, or even the third creation story. You have the creation in Genesis 1, then you have a creation of Adam and Eve, how they came into being in chapter 2. Then you have, in chapter 5, you have the story of Noah and how the world had become evil in such a short time, and God needed to start over again with the world, with the exception of Noah and his family. Now, here are some facts, according to Mark Batterson, about this story of Noah. And I read these and I think, could this be possible? So I'm just sharing what Batterson wrote, but it does get us to think. This quest of building an ark required Noah to plant trees that he would one day build the ark from. Long-term vision. This quest of Noah was over 43,000 days long, 120 years, longer than this story about Crazy Horse. That's amazing that a statue or a monument is being erected for Crazy Horse takes 100 years. Well, Noah took 120 years, longer than this. He prepared an ark that was the size of 1.5 football fields. And the dimensions of this ark are still used today, are considered to be the right dimensions for a large ship to weather storms. Isn't that amazing? That all of these cubits that we read about, that are about the size of a football field and a half, that it's still considered the kind of construction that would weather a storm today. So Noah took 120 years to build this ark. Here's another amazing thought, is that the animals, the wildlife that Noah gathered to preserve would be like 60 times the population of the National Zoo in D.C. 60 times the population of this zoo. So if we think that Noah had any free time, taking care of 60 times the population of the National Zoo all at once, isn't that amazing? And even just cleaning up it after the animals would have been a constant job. But these are just some of the staggering thoughts about this story of faith of Noah. A tremendous story of faith. He did all this 120 years without a drop of rain. But he believed what the Lord had called him to do, and he committed himself. He had this insane 20 seconds, but he also had a lifetime of purpose, making sure that he was building this ark the way the Lord wanted. Well, this story of Noah teaches us about our faith in so many ways. Thank you, Duke, for reading the passage tonight. It's a powerful passage. It begins by saying what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Just like Noah is commended for his faith, there was no rain when he was building this ark, when he was ridiculed for building such a large vessel. Can we imagine the neighbors, what they said about Noah and how strange this was? Noah had faith, and he's commended in Hebrews chapter 11, along with a lot of other folks, for their faith. And what we learn from Noah is that we learn three basic lessons about faith. I'm going to go through them tonight. The first lesson is, when we plan for the future, now hear this, when we plan for the future, we can either make plans based on fear or faith, which is our choice. We can look into the future with either fear or faith. We live in a time where there is a lot to be afraid of. We know that violence can come to almost any setting at any time. We know that we're just a few insults away from another war. There's all kinds of things to be fearful of. But yet, this biblical story teaches us that faith has always been here. And faith is always stronger than fear. For the biblical teaching, there are as many responses to our fears about not fearing as there are days in the year. The Lord, in the teachings of the scripture, there's a teaching for every day of the year about not fearing. So my question to us tonight is, as we look at our life, and all of us have something on our mind that's coming up this next week, are we trusting the Lord to walk through that experience in faith, or are we allowing fear to get the best of us? This good news of Noah is a story about having faith instead of fear as we look to the future. This is also a story where we look at where God is leading us in faith one step at a time. Now, we human beings, we want to know all the steps, don't we? Mark Batterson says it like this: we want to know what step two is before we commit to step one. But you know, that's not faith at all. The scripture teaches us that if we can see it, it's not faith. Faith is believing in what we cannot see. But with the Lord's design of us, he gives us just enough to help us take that first step and the next step of faith. If we've been walking by faith a long time, he helps us take that next step of faith. Robert Morgan, in his book, The Red Sea Rules, talks about how God has a plan for us to show us a little bit about what is ahead, but never so much that we would try to manipulate it. He did this with Israel in the desert. One day of manna, not more than one day, but one day of manna, one step at a time to walk through the wilderness. He does it through the teachings of Jesus. Jesus said, consider the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. The lilies of the field, they neither toil nor spin. They know the Heavenly Father will take care of them. So why do you worry? Why do you worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear? So this teaching about this next step of faith is huge. It's not about knowing all the steps. It's about just taking the next step of our faith. And we can do that. So what is our next step of faith that God is calling us to do? My wife and I celebrated our 33rd wedding anniversary yesterday. And when we first got married 33 years ago, she never thought she'd marry a preacher. She didn't. Her friends, some of them in our congregation, never thought she'd marry a preacher either. And she is always talking about me that I have faith and she doesn't. But I want you to know, when she married me, she took a big step of faith, didn't she? And here we are 33 years later. She's seeing that step of faith one day at a time, just like I am. The Lord provides one day at a time. He doesn't tell us all the steps. Martin Luther King said faith is like a staircase or stair step. We don't see all the steps to the top, but we see the next step we need to take along the way. So that's the invitation for us tonight. Perhaps we've already moved through that 20 seconds of insane courage, and it's just a matter of us taking that next step of faith, which leads me to the third teaching about faith. God shows favor to those who live by faith. Look at this entire 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. It's a whole chapter with this one theme of faith. All these people that were commended for their faith: Enoch, Moses, Abraham, all of these folks are commended for walking by faith. And of course, Noah, as he did this ridiculous thing of building an ark for 120 years and pulling in all these animals enough that would fill 60 national zoos, and all of these ridiculous things, but he lived by faith. And so when the rain came, he was ready. He was ready. And God shows favor to those who live by faith. Now, being a rim hugger keeps us from walking by faith. It makes us overly cautious. We can observe things, we can see things, but it's not the same as being down in the Grand Canyon and hiking the Grand Canyon. We can know about God, but we may not know God in our heart. this whole idea of faith is how we step out and walk with God. So tonight, if we have fear, if we're uncertain of our next steps, we need not be discouraged about that. That's the very reason that God gives us faith to live by, so that we can go forward trusting Him. And it's a lot more secure as we think about eternity to live by faith than by fear. I mean, which makes more sense? To plan our life around things that make us afraid, or to plan our lives around the teachings of God and to walk and live by faith into those teachings? God shows His favor with those who walk by faith. We're commended for it. In closing, we're asking everyone to be all in with Jesus. This is the step of faith that is available for all of us. Jesus died on the cross for us. He arose from the dead. He's given us victory. We only need to receive His grace that He offers to each of us. There's no sin that separates us. We can be forgiven of our sin. There's no life circumstance that Christ cannot help us overcome. Christ has even overcome death by His death on the cross. So when we come for Holy Communion tonight, it is a time for us to remember that Jesus Christ has completely paid the price for all of us, and we are invited to come and receive what He's done for us.